This dress makes me look fat? What's that? Yes. The courtroom of public opinion, where we ask those kinds of questions. Babe, 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 am I getting a little light on the top? Sweetie, sweetie, do you really like that meal?
Hey, hon, I was wondering, does this tie really match my shirt? I mean, can you see the blue? Can you see the blue in this tie and how it kind of matches the blue in my shirt? I mean, I'm hoping that you can see it from where you're sitting. I really want to know. You see, I really want to know how you feel about the meal, how you really feel about the dress, how you feel about the tie, how you feel about... Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know? Are you asking so that you can hear truth declared? Or are you hoping instead for flattery? Words that lift? Words that touch? Words that inspire? Are you really waiting for a lie? Well, Pastor Bob, I mean, I don't know if I'd put it that way. Well, let me say to you sincerely, you probably will hear. Well, you'll probably hear, well, it won't be truth. How's that? Statistically speaking, know this. You'll probably hear a lie. For lies lately, well, I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again. If lying was a stock, this would be the month to buy. For do you know that lying is up this week? It truly, truly is. In fact, it's on the rise. Oh, you go back in time and you ask those folks. We call them baby builders. Yes, baby builders, the 40s, the 50s. You ask them about lying, 19% will say, yeah, I admit this. I'm a baby builder, and 19% of us lie regularly, okay? Now watch this. We move from baby builders to baby boomers. Baby boomers, you know, the 50s, the 60s, my generation, you ask us, do we lie regularly? And 30 to 35% of us will admit, yeah, I lie pretty regularly. But wait, we're not done. No, we continue to grow. And this thing called lying, once again, on the rise, we ask now a baby buster. Not a boomer, not a builder, this is a buster. Hey, what about lying? What about your lips? And you know what you'll find? 50% say, yeah, I lie all the time. I lie all the time. And if that's not a sad statistic, listen to this now. When it comes to who will lie to, we come to discover that you'll lie to the people that are closest to you. Statistically, once again, 58% lie to a best friend. 59% lie to my kids. 69% lie to my spouse. 73% lie to my brother, my sister. And a whopping 86% will lie to parents. Now, certainly those seem like some staggering statistics. Nonetheless, let's consider the content. We're asking liars to tell us the truth. How often do you lie? How do we know if any of these statistics are true? Why? We're asking liars to tell us about their habit lying. The implications, my friend? Well, a recent secular survey suggests that 91% of those living in this land of freedom and liberty will lie regularly. It's just normal. I mean, it's just natural. It's just... And that's why we need... It's called a commandment. You see, God's not saying, I got this really great suggestion. I'd really love for you to tell the truth. No, he's saying, this is a commandment for the people of God. A commandment? Exodus chapter 20, know with me, verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And again, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Your attention, please. I know at first read, for some of us, we listen to that commandment and we assume erroneously that this is some, well, in content, of course, the closet of the courtroom. We're talking about standing before a judge, standing before a jury, and honestly giving false witness. No, no, I'd never do that. No. You may never do that, and that's not what's even asked. No, what's being asked here is much broader. In fact, take note with me, four words specifically, the first of which is that one word for bear. Bear. He says, do not bear. Do not bear. Circle the word for bear and understand close by, whenever you bear false witness, certainly there is a speaker or a leaker of the information, but there is also a hearer and a holder of the information. That's why the word bear.
You see, when you bear false witness, your words someone will wear, and whatever you bear, they will now share. You ever share something heavy, and then somebody else is now carrying that heavy thing you just shared? Oh man, somebody, they're going through a real divorce, and guess what? You just couldn't keep that quiet. You had to tell somebody else what they're going through, and you shared something really heavy. And as you bear that, they share that. Now, our words, we're wearing them. In fact, in my trade, I count on it. I'm counting on the fact that with words, I can leave an impression upon you. If my words today were a light and I could actually shine it on you, if it would stay and cling to your clothes, I would hope, I would pray once again that all of us would leave the house of God illuminated with the light of His Word. I'm counting that you're going to wear words. But if that's true, then even when you hear something you shouldn't hear, listen to this. You're going to wear it, you're going to share it, you're going to bear it. And it's for that reason we have to be very, very careful what we share. Why? What are we sharing? What are we wearing? If it's false, if it's untrue, know this. Life might be fast, but lies are faster. You ever notice how fast a lie can go from one mouth and one mind into another mouth and into another mind? It's amazing. It's for that reason Mark Twain once well wrote, a lie can travel halfway around the world before truth even has its shoes on. And that's true. You ever notice that? Oh man, I can tell somebody the truth and it just seems to stall or stay there. But you tell somebody a lie and boom, somebody else has it, somebody else has it, somebody else has it. And now it's actually come back to you. And it's about you. And you can't even believe what they said about you. It's a lie! Now does it only have to be a lie that travels so quickly that we're only supposed to not share and bear? Listen, lying, gossiping, untrue, misrepresentation, distortion, exaggeration. What's that? Please, please, please. Keep in mind, once again, this word for bear in the Hebrew implies, watch this, you're not supposed to take heed of it. You're not supposed to pay attention to it. You're not supposed to respond to it. You're not supposed to sing it, shout it, or speak it. You're not supposed to announce it. You're not supposed to acknowledge it. Why? Because if it's false, it has no place in a life that's supposed to be true. Do you understand? Your life is supposed to be true, and now you're wearing, bearing, sharing something that's false? False? False. False? Circle the word for false, and now understand even more so. This word for false doesn't imply only something that's deceitful. Only something that's not true. No, if you will, with the word false, write the word deceit, which certainly would imply it's not true, but also write the word damaging. Damaging. Even if it is true, you're not supposed to be somebody who shares something that will damage someone else's reputation, even at... Wait a minute, Pastor Bob, you mean to tell me even if it is true, I can't share it? No, not according to this word. And you know why? Listen to this. One has well written, a gossip. A gossip is a person who will never tell a lie when the truth will actually do more damage. Listen to that again. You'll like it the second time better. A gossip is a person who will never tell a lie when the truth will do more damage. You see, you might even know something that is true about somebody, but you know that when you share it, you're going to destroy their reputation. You're going to disrupt their character. Why in the world is that your responsibility to go out and bear and share and tear someone down? Where you are in the body of Christ? This person's in the body of Christ. We're supposed to be using our words to encourage and exhort and build up the body. Instead, now you are somebody sharing and you're somebody bearing something that's false, something that's damaging, something that's deceitful. Christian, don't you understand? You are a... Well, what's that third word? The third word is witness. Witness. And close by the word witness, you could write this word. Write the word testimony. Write the word recorder. Recorder. Yes, in a Hebrew dictionary, Old Testament times, they had recorders. Now, they certainly weren't electronic, they were not electric, but they still had recorders. A recorder would be somebody who would sit in a courtroom, and as testimony is given, they'd write it down. And they would have to be accurate so that when they shared it, somebody who heard it would get it right. You happen to be a recorder. You're a recorder of information today. And again, I'm hoping that you'll wear the words, and as you share the words, somebody else will bear words of righteousness. For you are a witness of Jesus Christ, and it's with that witness you can make a difference in your world. That's my prayer for you.
That you would actually be a righteous witness, for the Scriptures do declare that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive strength from on high to go out and be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Do you understand the value of a faithful and true witness? And this is why here the Word declares, don't. Don't you dare. Don't even think about sharing or bearing damaging, deceitful testimony about your, well, it's the fourth word. Please note it. About your neighbor. My neighbor. Well, I'd never talk bad about my neighbor. No, Dave and Sandy, they're great people. Oh, Dave and Emily on the other side, I'd never talk bad about my neighbor. Listen, this word for neighbor, close by, understand, it does imply companion. It does include brother. But here's the word I want you to write down next to the word neighbor. Write this word. O-T-H-E-R. Other. Other? It's an all-encompassing word. You see, we're not just talking about your neighbor. We're talking about anybody. Here, the Bible says, don't you say anything bad about anybody. It might say it this way, coming from the heart of a mom, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Yes, you know that one. How do you know that one? Well, certainly your mom was concerned about you doing what this commandment tells you not to do. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Against your neighbor. Don't you dare say about anybody else anything that's not true. Even if it is true, I can't say it. If it damages their reputation, if it destroys their character. I mean, Pastor Bob, if that's true, I mean, what am I going to talk about? I mean, what am I going to do with my time? I mean, for some people, their regular routine starts early in the morning talking to a friend. Hi. Where were you last night? I didn't think I saw you. No, 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 I didn't. You know where I went? Do you know I saw? Oh, I know. I couldn't even believe it. Do you know who they were with? Oh, I was aghast. Yeah, hang on a second. I got another person on the other line. Yeah, hang on, hang on, hang on. Okay, hi. Now, who am I talking to? I'm not talking to anybody. Why would you say? Oh, that. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that, it was salesman. Bye. Oh, yeah. I'll call you right back. Can I call you right back? Hi. Yeah. Who was it? Well, it's a long story, and I don't have time to go in it right now, but, Do you remember? Does that sound like you? Does that sound like somebody you know? Yeah, it may sound like a friend of yours, right? Please pray for your friend. Do you know why you need to pray for your friend? Listen, I'll tell you why. Three R-letter words. The first R-letter word is, this kind of behavior is a revelation. It's a revelation. And on that same note, revelation, say goodbye to Exodus 20. Make your way with me to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, yeah, it's there we'll come to after the fact. Well, first, I just want to say this revelation, real revelation, listen to this, lying's going to cost you something. Listen again. Lying is going to cost you something. What will it cost you? I have a great story. Listen to this. Cost you something. Lying will cost you something. Exactly. The story is told of an old peevish man who boarded a train. He occupied the best seat and then tried to reserve still another seat for himself by placing his own luggage on that seat. Now, do you know somebody like that? In other words, imagine with me, you got this old cantankerous, sits down on the train, sees that there's an empty seat next to him. He wants to have an empty seat next to him. He doesn't like people. He takes his own luggage, puts it in the seat, and hopes no one comes. Next thing you know, a young teenager comes running up. Train's about to leave. Hey, anyone sitting there?
I'm saving that seat for a friend. That's his luggage. He'll be right back.
The young boy climbs over the old man's leg, sits in the seat, puts the luggage on his lap, and says, I'll wait for your friend. The old man glares without being respected, and now the train starts to move. Well, now the young kid with his luggage on his lap looks at the old man, notices the open window, takes the luggage, throws it out. Turns to the old guy and says, listen, your friend missed the train. We wouldn't want him to miss his luggage, too, would we? Yes, lying can cost you your luggage. Do you understand? Luggage. More important, if you're in business, lying could cost you a customer. A customer. The old butcher Joe. He's closing up the deli. It's Saturday night. He's only got one chicken in the cooler. And now Mrs. Brown comes in. One of his favorite customers. Hey, Joe, do you got a nice roaster? Well, sure I do, Mrs. Brown. Goes over, gets the lone chicken he owns, throws it on the scale. Let me see here now. That's 2 pounds, 6 ounces. That'll be $1.35, Mrs. Brown. Joe, I'm sorry. That's not big enough. Do you have a bigger one? Let me check. Takes the same chicken, goes back to the cooler, wiggles it around, brings it back, throws it on the same scale, same chicken. Ha ha! Oh, that's a 3-pounder. $1.80. All right. Mrs. Brown, I'm sorry, Joe. That's still not going to be enough chicken. I'll take both of them. Take both? Joe, you just lost a customer. Mr. Mann, you just lost your luggage. And aren't those some sweet stories? You know, when it comes to lying, aren't those the kind of stories we don't mind hearing? You know, we're in church, it's Sunday. Come on, share something that's light and friendly. Let's talk about lying in a very sweet way. Come on, Bob, you probably got a couple of stories out of an old Bible Illustrator program. Come on, make a smile. That's not my style. How's that? Lying's serious. And if I'm going to reinforce that fact, I'm going to move away from a Bible Illustrator program and I'm going to have to tell you what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Revelation chapter 21, the first verse. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and they will dwell with him. They shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And I love verse 4. Underline it. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. These words are true and faithful. And then he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he shall be my son. Verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You mean to tell me, Pastor Bob, this is a fire and brimstone message? And the kind of people, the type of people that spend eternity in darkness are liars? Liars? You're going to put liars with murderers? You're going to put liars with cowardly liars? Christian, listen. Hell is something that happens in the heart. It happens in the heart. And when I see a heart, when I hear a heart, when I hear somebody's heart, and I hear their heart as they speak with their lips, if freely flow lying lips, there's a problem with the heart. How do I know it's a heart problem? Saying goodbye to Revelation. It's Luke's Gospel, the 6th chapter. This time, it's verse 45. Jesus declares, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Again, for out of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks. Your attention, please. Please, your attention. Why? I want you to see a picture of contrast, Christian friend. I want you to see on one side, he who represents, listen to this, the faithful witness. This is the Lord of life. On the other side, I want you to see he who represents a false witness, the Lord of lies. The Lord of lies? Well, that's how he's described in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter and the 44th verse. Oh, listen, as I read John 8:44, Jesus said, as he spoke to the religious leaders of his time, you are your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he doesn't stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. And he speaks, listen to this. When Satan speaks, he speaks of his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Now, what is the implication of the word father in the word? Well, a father sires sons. A father sires daughters. You see, a father has got satanic seed, if in fact he is Satan. And each time you link yourself to a lie, you're linking yourself to the Lord of the lies. Therefore, your heart needs some serious, serious surgery. Christian, I'm concerned. And let me tell you why. Because for some of us, this continual, habitual lying, because it's a condition of the heart, we must realize there's a problem then in the heart. And the problem of the heart, if you've got to say to somebody, hey, the check is in the mail, in reality, you know you haven't even written the check. In reality, you know you haven't got funds in the account. It's revealing a problem. But if you actually assume that here, linked to the Lord of lies, that you can tell a lie and another lie and another lie and get away with it, listen, not only are you telling lies, you're believing lies. The Lord of lies is so bound you that you're stuck. And you will continue to tell lies and continue to tell lies and continue to tell lies. And your life will be a lie. How serious does it get? Listen to this quote, and then I'll give you the author. Listen. By means of shrewd lies, unremittingly repeated, it is possible to make people believe that heaven is hell and hell is heaven. The greater the lie, the more readily it will be believed. Now I want you to listen to that statement one more time. This author writes, by means of shrewd lies, unremittingly repeated, it is possible to make people believe that heaven is hell and hell is heaven. The greater the lie, the more readily it will be believed. Now, that sounds satanic to me. That makes my skin start to, you know, it's just like, who said that? Adolf Hitler said that. And wasn't he so successful? How many people did he have duped into thinking that Jewish people were second-class people, that they didn't deserve to live, but they ought to? Do you understand how serious this is then? The Lord of lies infiltrates, he permeates a human heart, and now this person lies and knows that he can actually get people to believe that heaven is hell and hell is heaven. Oh, I appreciate his music ability, but I'm concerned about his lyrics. I know he's passed. But now he knows the difference. How's that? Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no heaven? How popular is that song? No heaven, no hell. No, only earth before us? Come on, imagine it with me. Come on, imagine. Why? I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want to be condemning. I'm a guy who just loves people. And very subtly and very strategically, the liar and the Lord of lies convinces you that lying is... Oh, come on. Don't you see it? Listen again as I connect you to John 8:44. The Bible says Satan is the father of lies, and when he speaks a lie, he speaks his own resources. Another translation reads, when he speaks of his native tongue. His native tongue. The implication? Resources is a wonderful word. In the original language, it speaks of a satanic stock room. It's his inventory. It's his business. Same way, I go to Home Depot or Lowe's, if I'm looking for paper products, if I'm looking for plywood, if I'm looking for bolts and nuts, this is what they sell. It's what they make available. Listen, what the enemy makes available when you're at work and you're behind... You got to come up with some kind of excuse so you don't lose your job. Let me tell you something. The satanic stock room is open for business. And what is on his shelf? Let me tell you what's on his shelf. You look at the satanic stock room and you got, oh, there's a box of fibs. Well, now there's a box of exaggeration. Oh, look over here. We got misrepresentation. Oh, look. Lies even come in color. He's got white lies. He's got red lies. He's got blue lies. Over here, what has he got? He's got fabrication. Oh, look what he's got over here. These are just plain old fibs. And look, he's got a big box. This is huge. What are these? Oh, it's marked tall tales and whoppers. Oh, he's got a big box of whoppers down here. Yes, even whoppers. He's got whoppers available to you if you'd like to tell a whopper. Christian, listen. I contrast now the Lord of lies, the Lord of life, 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 life. I'm not just alliterating my words. Listen, when you choose to tell the truth, it is a freeing, life-giving experience. And if we contrast John 8:44, that he's the father of lies, Satan is, now we contrast that to Numbers 23:19. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, God is not a man, therefore he cannot lie. God's not a man. He doesn't lie. Why? Men have to lie because we're trying to give somebody a different image. We're trying to give them an impression. I'm wearing clothes that have labels to make you think I have something maybe I don't and can't afford. I'm going to drive a car, and really I should probably be driving something else, but if I can drive that and give you the impression I'm successful, you see, I'll continue to live this lie because I am a lie, because the truth is just too hard for me to bear. But if I can convince you that I'm better than I am, richer than I am, smarter than I am, I'll just continue to live the lie, and if nobody catches me at all, I'll have the whole world fooled. And I'll continue to live a life that is not real, that is not realistic, and hope that you never find me out. And I really don't have real close friends, because close friends would figure me out, and for that reason, I stay stuck and stupid, because no one will ever challenge me to change. No one can, because I'm too busy believing my own lie. You see how sad this is? This thing called revelation? Revelation. Here we have the false witness. Here we have the faithful witness. Jot it down. Revelation 3:14. Jesus is the faithful and true witness. The faithful and true witness. You see the contrast? Jesus Christ is the excuser of the brethren. The enemy, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. And every time you bear false witness, you're not telling the whole truth when you speak against someone in the body of Christ. Why? If you're going to tell the whole truth about somebody in the body of Christ, you will be in the business of excusing them, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sin. If you, however, are part of the enemy's camp, you don't mind sharing false witness. Why? Well, because you don't want to tell the whole story. You want to keep them stuck in their sins and have them to believe that that's where they have to stay. You see the difference? So when someone speaks a lie, and I listen, I say, you know, that's not just a lie. That's the truth, you see. Because you're telling me a lot about yourself. You're telling me that there's a problem you don't want to confront or deal with, and you're telling me it's easy for you to point a finger at somebody else and defame them and discredit them and destroy them than it is for you just to believe the best in them as Christ would have you to do. It is a matter of revelation. It's also a matter, second R-letter word, of reputation. Reputation, leaving your last place of Scripture, make your way with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we'll draw your attention to the first verse, and keep in mind, on the subject of reputation, all of us have one. All of us have a reputation. In fact, it's strange the way that reputation works. If you have certainly enjoyed parenthood, at the point you decided to name your child, you'd throw out a name, and if your wife had a high school friend that had that name and had a bad experience, you didn't name your kid after that name. Why? Because she didn't even like the name. Do you know what I'm talking about? Of course you do. Why? There are some names, all you have to do is say them, and people go, well, I don't like that name. Why don't I like that name? Because I knew somebody with that name, and I didn't like them. It's not the name's bad. But the reputation is a representation of somebody you didn't care for. This is how important a reputation is. Now, when it comes to telling the truth, when it comes to lying, here, Scripture has something to say. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in the first verse we read, walk prudently when you go to the house of God. Draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. Now, please note, Solomon in his wisdom has heard conversations in the congregation. He said, you know, it's a strange thing. People come to church, and they're supposed to come to listen, and they just start carrying on. He says, when I listen to the content of their conversation, you know, honestly, it's the sacrifice of fools. Now, that's sad. It's a sad footnote and commentary on too often the conversation in the congregation, and that we're not here to edify and exhort and build up the body. Instead, we're busy with our tongues cutting and tearing down. No, Ecclesiastes says don't do that. Not only in the first verse, but now we continue in the second verse and read, do not be rash with your mouth. Don't let your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. And verse 6, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God, my vow was a mistake, it was an error. And watch second half of verse 6. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? Listen to that again. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? Why is God angry at your excuse? Here's why. New Testament teaching, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than that is of the enemy. Why? Whenever you say, count on me, and I'm saying, you can really count on me, God says, you know what? You're already lying. There's a problem here. He says, and what will end up happening is that each time you have to give an excuse for making a promise and not keeping it, you are slowly but certainly, you know what's happening? Your integrity is going to begin to atrophy because there are no muscles of truth. And for that reason, after a while, you say, hey, can I do that for you? No, you can't. Why? I can't tell you this. It's tough to confront you on this issue, but I don't trust you, honestly. You don't trust me. I don't know why you don't trust me. Well, because 2 weeks ago you promised you'd be there at such and such a time and you didn't show up. And now you're asking me to count on you again. And slowly but surely you're going to find fewer contractual relationships, fewer natural agreements. Hey, after a while, nobody even wants to go out with you for a date.
Well, I can't believe that. And some of the single brothers and sisters are saying, if this is something that's going to affect my dating, I'm paying attention. Listen carefully.
How's that? Again, it's called a reputation. A reputation. And understand, in this thing here we call the body of Christ, from time to time somebody will say to me, hey, Bob, I'm looking for another employee and I'd love to hire a Christian. Do you know somebody that? And you know what they're trying to say to me? They're trying to say, I have a few other Christians on my staff and I love the fact that these guys show up early and leave a little later. I love the fact that they tell me the truth. I love the fact that, but let me tell you something, that happens to not be necessarily our reputation in the real world. Too often we find that the reputation of the believer is some that says, hey, the check's in the mail. It's not in the mail. Again, it didn't even show up. And when it does finally show up, it's got a dove in the corner. And now that dove doesn't fly to the bank. It drops somewhere on the floor and that it doesn't have anything to support it. I say to you, no dying doves in the body of Christ here at Calvary Chapel. How's that? If you've got a cross on your check or a dove on your check, I hope it flies. I hope it connects in a crosshair way with a bank that's got sufficient funds. Why do I say that? Believe it or not. Last month, I think it was about 20 checks that came here to Calvary Chapel in way of tithe and offering, and they didn't make it through the bank. What's that? Now you're actually writing checks to God, and you're not being honest with Him. Yeah, here's my money. Count on it. Hey, at the bookstore, I want to buy this Bible and this trinket and this toy, and your checks don't fly in the house of God? Christian. Be careful. Why? This is your reputation, my friend. And it is a revelation now that if you've become so commonplace that you're going to go ahead and lie. Lie? Lie that much? Well, don't lie that much. Why? Again, God says, you're going to destroy the work of your hands. Your hands. I want to shake your hand and tell you, I agree. I promise. You can count on me. My word is my bond. Can you shake your hand today and do that? Or do you shake a hand and then have to sign this document and this document and this document and this document? Why? Because the handshake doesn't mean anything anymore. And it's sad we're living in such a litigious society where the simple handshake doesn't mean anything anymore. Why? We have to have document and lawyer and attorney fee and contract. Why? Nobody believes anything. Last house we bought, they actually had me sign a document being honest about who I am. Do you really solemnly swear that you're Bob Coy? Yes! I can't believe you're asking me to sign something that says so. Well, we've had so many people say that they're not who they are. We actually have to have a legal contract where you say, I'm Bob Coy, and Bob Coy's saying that I'm Bob Coy. What if I'm lying? Well, now, the reason they have a document is they want to be able to take me to court. Before they couldn't. Handshake, just not enough. But now we want to make sure we can take you to court. You said you were, you weren't. And so now we have legal grounds to come after you, you Christian. You Christ-like con. I'm sorry. That apparent contradiction is something we need to change. And that's why I say in all sincerity, when you lie, it is a matter of revelation. It's a matter of reputation. And then finally, third R-letter word, it's a matter of responsibility. Responsibility. Now, as I take this final Roman numeral 3, I'm going to sublet it. And here's how I want you to understand. And this is where we'll spend the remainder of our time. We don't have a whole lot of time, but I want you to say under responsibility, it's responsible behavior that tells the truth.
Listen to that again. It's responsible behavior that tells the truth. It's a more mature mouth that tells the truth. Why? Because a mature mouth and a more responsible tongue is one that recognizes, A, that it happens to be foundational ground for gratitude. Foundational ground for gratitude. Number two, it happens to be freeing ground for grace. Number three, it happens to be fertile ground for growth. Let me explain. It happens to be foundational ground for gratitude. Leave where you're at, Ecclesiastes 5, and go with me just a handful of pages to the left to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. In Proverbs chapter 12, we draw your attention to the first verse and that alone. And here's what the Bible says, Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, and he who hates correction is stupid. Now, I got to admit, I like saying that. Let me say that one more time. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Now, listen to this. We're not allowed to use that last word in the Koi house. Christian, nope, don't say the word stupid. Katie, don't ever use the word stupid. I tell my children that stupid is a word that's reserved for God alone. For he can truly look at someone's life and say, you know what? I have tried to speak to you so many times by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you continue to hate instruction, you continue to hate knowledge, I say to you, you're stupid. It's a stupid thing. He says it's very, very stupid. Now again, kind of like using the word stupid for a moment. But remember, it's not me sharing it, it's God. Why? Listen to why he says this. Because if he's given you an opportunity to love instruction and love knowledge and you reject it, then being stupid is someplace you'll stay. And there's nothing worse than staying stupid, in my opinion. You know somebody that's staying stupid? And in other words, a friend comes to them, sits them down, shares with them something of substance. They don't listen, they don't respond, and they just stay stupid. Don't do that. No, it's an embarrassing experience. Let me explain. I would have loved, how many years ago, for somebody to tell me the truth when I needed to hear the truth. It was a very special date. One of my very first. It was 1976. I bought a 1973 Triumph Spitfire. Cute little yellow, tan interior, black top. I'm going to take out the girl of my dreams. I'm going to take her someplace where I'm going to dine and I'm going to date and she just can't wait. Well, I'm going to really pull out all the stops. I'm going to spend a lot of money and let her know just how cool this teenage kid is. And so, of course, I pick her up, cheerleader, babe. I drive her top down Kingsley Inn, Woodward Avenue, Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. It's the restaurant. And now, first time, valet, car, yes. Take her inside the restaurant, not realizing it's jackets only. The maitre d' looks at me, feeling somewhat sympathetic. He hands me a blue blazer, doesn't fit. Nonetheless, I'm out. Yeah, I'm a teenager, I'm a kid, but I got a new car. I'm celebrating something special with this cheerleader babe. And now I order. I order a big fancy meal, big piece of meat, vegetables, baked potato, loaded, yes. She orders a great meal. We come to the end of the meal, and now waiter hands me the check, and I realize I don't look that cool, but nonetheless I am. I pay the bill, and he gives me kind of a puzzled look. And then I walk outside. I pick up the car. And now the valet, Parker, he gives me that same puzzled look, but then he starts to snicker. He looks at one of his buddies, and they have this thing. It looks like, you know, they've got some kind of secret stash on me. Well, I go ahead and drive her home, and now the light of the street shining in the car. Looks like it's going to be one of those special moments, but my date even appears to be a little hesitant. The conversation is quick, and now I take her to the door, and she says goodnight, no kiss. I thought I spent a lot of money. And, you know, kind of figure as a kid that, you know, spent a lot of money. Maybe a little peck on the cheek kind of a thing. And she goes inside the house. I get back in my car and I sit down and I decide to readjust the rearview mirror. And I look at my face and, oh, my goodness. I got a whole piece of corn in my mustache. You see, I got this big, huge mustache and I got a whole kernel of corn in my mustache. Now, I'm not talking I got a shell of a kernel. I'm not saying I got a part of a kernel. I'm saying I got a whole kernel of corn in my mustache. Now, as I see this revelation, my mind starts to go back in time.
I now see the waiter. And he's looking at me with that puzzled look, and now I know why he's wiping his own mouth a couple of times as he looks my direction, basically saying, buddy boy, wipe the mouth. I don't respond. And now I understand why the valet guy opened my door, sat me down, and looked at his buddy like, do you see this clown? Oh, no. Now my mind goes back to the street light and the conversation and the smile. She wasn't looking in my eyes. She was looking at my mustache, lightly buttered. Oh, no. This is so embarrassing. This is so humiliating. Do you know what I need more than anything else? Jot it down. Proverbs 27:6. I need the wound of a friend. How's that? The Bible says the wounds of a friend are faithful, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Do you understand? I need somebody to tell me the truth. And I say to you, and I want to go on record as saying so, if ever you see me walking down the hallway here at Calvary Chapel and I got toilet paper stuck to my shoe, if I got spinach between my teeth, please tell me. Please tell me. Don't let me give away with that stuff. Why? It's so embarrassing that nobody will tell you the truth. Tell you the truth. It wasn't that long ago, my wife and I were flying from L.A. back to Fort Lauderdale, and the stewardess is putting those food stickers on the back of the chairs, those people who have special meals, and she sticks one of the stickers on the back of the airline seat, and then the guy who's sitting at that seat, he gets up. Well, as he gets up, the sticker goes off the back of the airline seat on his shoulder. And as he starts to go to the bathroom, everybody starts to comment, it says kosher. You know, this guy's kosher. And nobody says, hey, you got a kosher sticker on your back. No, everyone's kind of snickering, make a comment. We don't even know if he's Jewish. Listen, but right now he's kosher, you know. I don't know if he feels blessed now that he's been blessed with the kosher sticker. Nonetheless, all the way there and all the way back, look, he's got a kosher sticker on his back. Now I'm too far away and I'm buckled in, so I can't do anything about it, honestly. Somebody says something, he kind of grabs it, he doesn't get it, and now it's on his hair, and now it's stuck, and now it's really embarrassing because not all of his hair was in place as it should have been, and not all of his hair was his own. It's a long story, but let me just say, somebody should have helped him. You see, on a light note, we all admit, man, there are those embarrassing moments. But what about when you've got a friend that's struggling with alcohol, and you know the rumor mill? Lately, somebody said, you know, if he shows up at work one more time that late, he's going to lose his job. And you know why he's showing up at work so late. Here's why. Because he's staying up real late. Because he's just drinking like a hound. He's drinking like a fish. And this is going to not only destroy his body, but now it's destroying his... He's going to lose his job. Well, where on this planet is the person who says, it may not necessarily be convenient or comfortable, but I'm choosing to be confrontational as Christ would lead, and if I speak the truth in love, hopefully I'll win the friend. Exactly. You see, just this last week, a complaint made its way to my office, and in the conversation, I was disagreed with. And the woman just continued to say, do you know what your church has done? Do you know what your ministry did? Do you know what your school did? And I said, no, listen, this is not the ministry, this is not the church, this is not the school. Let me tell you where the problem lies. And I addressed a condition in her heart. She completely disagreed with me. I felt like I was going nowhere. The conversation ended in tension. I said, well, that's just the way it goes. I had to still tell her the truth. I hurt on the inside until just this last Friday. My assistant Wendy got a phone call, and it was the same woman, and she said, you need to do me a favor. Go in and tell Pastor Bob I'm sorry. Everything he said to me was right. I just didn't want to listen. And now I'm going to do the things he recommended that I do. And I just need to extend an apology to him. I am so sorry. Please, ask him to forgive me. And of course I do. And if you're here, of course I forgive you. Why? I have this job, this responsibility. It's called telling the truth. I know I'm supposed to speak the truth in love. From time to time, if you don't hear the love, I apologize. But from time to time, for the same reason, I'm a public person, I have a pulpit position, you want to sometimes tell me the truth, we have to have this two-way relationship, but I say to you that instruction, not insult, is worth its weight in glory. Why? Again, it's foundational ground for gratitude. She said, thank you, Pastor Bob, for telling me the truth. And that person you're telling the truth to today may not respect you for it, may not appreciate it, but count on it. Mark my words, someday soon they will say, thank you very much. If in fact, listen to this, it was faithful instruction. If it's fruitless insult, don't do that. And again, because I am a public person and a pulpit position, from time to time, you know me better than I know you. And you know what happens when you know me better than I know you? You get to know my kids, you get to know where I live, you get to know what kind of car I drive, and then you see me in the hallway and you decide to tell me about my tie, or my shirt, or my hair. And while you're deciding to criticize and feeling I need to hear this, what happens? I still don't know your first name. I had a woman not too long ago after I decided to do this other hairstyle. She came up to me, she patted me on the face, she goes, oh, I love you so much, but your hair is horrible. I'm sorry, your name again? Do you know me? My mama can say that, my wife can say that, but who are you? And listen to this. In the body of Christ, I know who you are because there's a lot of you that now have become famous for being well-intentioned dragons, man. When you speak, fire comes out and you're telling the truth because you want to make sure people know the truth, but you leave scarred and seared people. They're in the fellowship fried. Someone just told me my skirt's too short and it's my first time here and I don't know Jesus, but I found out from your church that I just don't look right enough for God. Do you understand? And so from time to time I say, hey, listen, please, please, please. It is certainly foundational ground for gratitude. But is it faithful instruction or is it fruitless insult? See, I love faithful instruction. There's a handful of men. I want them to come into my life. I want them to tell me the truth. I'd be a fool to assume I know it all or that I'm done. I'm not done at all. But a wise man, tell me there's corn in my mustache. Tell me there's paper on my shoe. And tell me if I'm rude or obnoxious. Why? Some of you are single, some of you are married. I hope that if you're a married man, your wife has the right to tell you when you do something wrong. I hope your pride's not that great. And I hope if you're single, you've got friends that say, listen, you just came on to that girl and it was obnoxious, it was rude. And if you want to get a date in the house of God, something has to happen in your heart. And some of the sisters are going, yeah. But let me say to the sisters, no, I'll save it for another Bible study. Let's move further. Foundational ground for gratitude, freeing ground for grace. Freeing ground for grace. Go with me quickly to John's Gospel, the 8th chapter. And listen to the way it reads in verse 31, John 8:31. Jesus then said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word and you are my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Listen to that again. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Now watch, come on back up, because I want you to see this equation. And if you're taking note, jot it down. You shall know the truth, the whole truth, and there's freedom in the whole truth. Now, if you don't have the whole truth and you have half a truth, there's not freedom, there's frustration. So here's the equation. Information minus explanation equals frustration that leads to devastation. And I know that firsthand. How's that? Well, somebody sometime will have just a little bit of information about me or my life. They don't have any explanation of what may be happening. They go share it with a friend and it leads to frustration and devastation. Why? You don't have the full explanation. Let me give you an example. I was having lunch with a friend of mine a few weeks back, and he is a record producer and an artist agent. And we're talking about music because I love music, and if you don't know that, I have a background in music. I play drums, and I just love music. In fact, right now in my CD player, there's classics. I like all kinds of music. I like classical music, like rock and roll. I primarily, of course, listen to, and you'd expect me to, listen to contemporary Christian music. Why? I always look for something of substance with the lyrics. This man, however, says to me, have you heard the new U2? And I said, no, I haven't. Now, it just happened to win a Grammy. And I knew it was up for a Grammy. I said, boy, it must be hot. It got nominated for a Grammy. He said, man, you got to hear it. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't want to spend any money on secular stuff. And, you know, just, no. He says, I'll give you one. And I said, no, you don't have to do that. He goes, no, I'm going to put one in the mail. You need to hear it. And here's why. And here's what he says to me. He says, because I think the lead singer and a couple of the other guys, there's some real spiritual substance in their life. And there are a couple of tunes on the CD that I know sound more Christian in content than some of the stuff that we hear on Christian radio. I said, hey, I'll give it a listen to. So sure enough, week or so, shows up in the mail, CD, you knew you too. I throw it in my CD player. First song, a beautiful day. Beautiful day. Da, 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 da. Good song. I said, man, this is good. And I basically get here to the office. I say goodbye to the truck and I head on up to my office. And now I'm done. And now
I don't really listen to my CD player for the next few days. It's Sunday, just a few weeks back, after this service. I hop back in my car. I turn on the CD player. You two still in there. I'm driving down the road, and the beat is powerful. I'm liking the beat. And I'm going, man, this thing is good. So I crank it up. Moon roof's open, windows wide, back little window in the pickup truck is down. And I'm just really just having a great old time, you see. I'm at a traffic light at Wiles and Lyons. There's a little Mustang that pulls up alongside of me. Mom and Dad look about my age with a teenager in the back. She leans over. She listens. Pastor Bob! Is that you too? Yeah! Then she says, Elevation, man. My favorite song. Oh, Elevation. Is that what's on? Elevation? Now the light changes. She drives away. As I turn the corner, I start listening to the lyrics of the song Elevation. Now, it's not Antichrist or anti-God, but it's the lead singer singing about this love relationship, and he's talking about the corner of her lips and the orbit of her hips. Yes, this girl elevates him. Now, I hear that, and I think, oh, no. Why? Well, I got a teenager that's now driving home with Mom and Dad, probably from church, saying, Pastor Bob rocks with you too. No, I don't. A friend gave it to me. I didn't buy it, okay? It was a quick little listen. I mean, it wasn't like a big deal. You don't understand. It's not like it's my favorite band. It's not a top hit Christian tune. It was... And that's why I had to work it into this Bible study. Listen, here's why. Here's why. Because the Bible says, the truth will set you free, man. And I need to be free from you assuming that if you ever do hear me drive down the road, and it happens to be an old heathen hit, that I'm now going back to my past. You know what I mean? I heard Bob's car last week, and I thought I heard sounds of like Black Sabbath. No, you didn't hear sounds of Black Sabbath. Now, I also realize some of you have expectations that, of course, if you see me after church and you hear my stereo, you're going to hear a hallelujah chorus. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, of course, if you hear Pastor Roger, every traffic light, hallelujah. No. No, I like all kinds of music, and I like my music loud. That's just the way God knit me. Nonetheless, I thoroughly, and I highly regard spiritual Christian music. So if I divert my attention from what I love to something I listen to at a traffic light, information plus explanation leads to the celebration. What? Listen to this. This is so cool. So I tell this story all this weekend. Last night, at the end of the service, Mom and Dad from the Mustang walk up.
Hi, Pastor Bob.
Oh, you're the one with the teenager? Bob, you have no idea how God used that moment in your life. What's that? She's away at college. She came in for the weekend. She listened to you teach. And then as we're going home, listen, she was in town long enough the following Wednesday night because she believed you were a pastor that could relate to her. She walked forward and gave her life to Christ. You're kidding me. Oh, my goodness. Now, listen. No. That's not to say the way we evangelize is by listening to you, too. I'm just simply saying that even in the times where you go, oh, Lord, I'm driving home with guilt thinking everyone thinks I'm a heathen hit hero. I'm not. That God will even use that. And then finally, it's also fertile ground for growth. Last place I want you to turn to is Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, I'm going to draw your attention to one of my favorite chapters in all of Proverbs, and I'll tell you why, because the subject matter of this chapter is the mouth, and that's certainly the ministry I'm in. I'm in the ministry of the mouth, the tool is my tongue, and listen carefully as we read Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Now in verse 13, same subject, tongue and lips. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod for the back of him who's devoid of understanding. And again, the same subject, mouth, verse 14. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. And I want you to really focus on verse 18, same chapter. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. And in other words, my friend, if you hate somebody, you don't just hate them in your heart, you hate them with your mouth. And the hatred in your mouth is due to the hatred in your heart. And if you don't deal with the hatred in your heart, it's going to come out your mouth, and everyone's going to know who you hate. Prejudice abounds in Broward County. Why? Well, because we just don't hate in our heart. We hate in our lips, and then we cut people down. He says, should not be so in the mouth of the believer. Why? Last few verses. Verse 19, for in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many. But fools die for lack of wisdom. How does a fool die? Well, come on back. Fools die because someone won't take the time to tell a fool he's a fool. Do you understand? So if you know somebody that their behavior is really foolish and nobody will actually confront them, we look on and go, you know, that's kind of foolish. Yeah, but we can't talk to them about their foolishness, so we just let them. I'll give you an example. It may seem lighthearted, nonetheless. You ever notice how lately kids have their pants really, really low? And their underwear is really, really high? Now, honestly, anyone ever going to tell them? Pull your pants up, kid! See, amongst their peers, I'm not going to say anything. Some kid showed up one morning at school and he didn't know that. No one confronted him, and now we got a whole generation walking around. Their pants are falling up. Nobody will tell them, pull up your pants. It's foolish. It's silly. No, it's stylish. It's cool. I remember a story about Emperor's new clothes. You know what I mean? Oh, Pastor Bob, that's just a generational fashion. It may be a generational fashion, but again, if you think it's fashionable to do the kinds of things that will take you on a path that leads to damnation, I pray that what becomes more fashionable is to tell the truth. So help me, God. Amen? Father, we thank you so much for this, our time together. And as we come to a close, we now pray that you would be free to tell us the truth. And that if we are living a lie, God, that you would, as always, once again, bang on our brain and make all the necessary adjustments. And Father, if perchance today we've gathered together, we've listened to the Bible study, we've heard the worship, our hearts have been touched, and now they need to be changed. May you in your house heal the hurting as you extend the spirit of salvation and draw those who are yours to yourself. Father, this we pray in Jesus' name. And without saying amen, because I don't want to close the attitude of prayer, instead I say, how about you? Where are you at today? I'm not going to submit that your life is a lie, but if I have learned to use my tongue as a tool wisely, I will lovingly and diplomatically and very tactfully suggest that, man, change needs to take place in your heart. And rather than using my tongue like a knife that cuts, I would like to use my tongue like a surgical tool that does the same thing. It cuts. But it cuts out the garbage and saves the body. We're going to close in song, and as we do, if you've not yet, at this point in your life, opened your heart and said yes to Jesus Christ, it's very natural and very normal for you to lie. But the lie that you're believing and the lie that you're living is a lie that's going to take you from the Lord of lies, before and with the Lord of lies, for all eternity. And what I'm hoping to be today is the faithful witness that stands with Christ in the gap and says, listen, this ends in death. This begins with life. Come on over. Join the faithful and true witness and let God have His way in your heart. How, Pastor Bob? How do I do this? I want to tell the truth. It's not in my heart. When we start to close in song, you get up out of your seat and you come forward and you stand right here. When you stand right here and you open your mouth and you confess that He is who He claimed to be, God's going to meet you right here. He's going to forgive you your sins. He's going to deliver you from your past. And He's going to give you the strength to tell the truth. And that truth will be this. You are God. And I need your help. And I want you to be my Savior. As God works that will in your life, you will find it's a very freeing thing to tell the truth.
I don't know if you've experienced it yet, but here's one of the wonderful ways it works. You put your head upon your bed and you sleep free from guilt. Guilt free. Why? You lived your day telling the truth. If that's your desire, again, we're going to close in song. We're going to start to sing. Time is of essence. I don't want to keep you any later. But if you today know that I'm telling the truth and you need to have truth in your life, you get up out of your seat, you come forward and stand, and you meet God right here. When the group gathers, I'll lead you in a simple prayer. You pray that prayer, you confess He is, and your life begins to change. Don't live another day without Jesus. Pastor Clay, if you'll close this in song. Church, be in an attitude of prayer, being praying for and believing for these that are here. And those of you who have not yet made peace with God, come forward, stand, make everything that's wrong in your life right with Him today. Pastor Clay.
In You alone is where